This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kay comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair. PC Mac repair, networking, support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. Louie will pick up, let's see here, 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Wow. How long has it been? Has it been a month?
At least.
Has it been a month and a half?
Yeah. Windows 10.
Nothing's happened since then, right?
Just more and more AI.
Yeah. So what's your take on, so, you know, I'm sure our listeners have all been, you know, are up to speed on the, that, well, not all of them, but a lot of our PC users are up to speed on the fact that Windows 10 is just about to ride off into the sunset.
Yeah.
On the 15th, is that the official?
I think 14th, but yes.
14th, okay.
Somewhere in there. Not long.
Yep. Got it.
This will be the last, yeah, this is the last show that it will be supported with.
Oh, wow, that's shocking. So what's your take on, are you summarily advising all of your customers to?
I would say at this point, I think about 95% of my clients have upgraded to Windows 11 at this point.
Got it.
You know, there's a few straggling computers that are unable to update, you know, without doing, you know, doing the right voodoo dance to get it to update and continue. And main reason, at least for, you know, if you're a residential user, if you're a home user, I would, you know, consider doing the voodoo and making it update to Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
But as a business user, I've just been avoiding that and just saying, you know, it's time to look at something else.
Okay.
And most
so
of them are,
let's back this up. Define the voodoo.
So you have a machine that's older. It doesn't meet the minimum requirements.
You've run the Windows 10 11 mm-hmm. compatibility checker.
Exactly.
Right? And it says.
It says
a number of things,
but basically it says some piece or you're missing some piece of hardware or your hardware is not available. You know, you can't be updated.
The trusted platform module.
Yes.
Or the TPM, otherwise
version.
It's known.
Is it version 2, right? It has to be TPM version 2.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Anyway, so, you know, we should mention if anybody wants to call in and talk to us about their Windows 10 upgrade or their Windows 11 upgrade or anything else, 970-963-2976 is the number to call. And our operators are standing by at this moment. Anyway, so let's go back to this. So the Trusted Platform Module is it's a chip on the computer motherboard, and it is designed to, what does it do?
It manages secrets on the computer, right?
Okay.
That's an iron.
Yeah, it basically makes it so that if you, for instance, if you have a computer registered, do you? You know, I guess a good analog to it would be Apple's had this technology for quite a while. If you happen to find a Mac PowerBook or a MacBook computer sitting around and it belonged to somebody else, and you go ahead and get into it, and then you go in and you try to disable remove that previous user from the computer, it won't let you. You can't do it unless you have their consent and are willing to exchange codes via text message or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're pretty much, you're either going to run around with a computer that's kind of halfway yours or.
Yep. I had to do that last week.
Or you won't be able to use it at all.
I had to contact a former employee of one of my clients and go, hey, so for some reason this computer got attached to your
Apple account.
Yes. And I had to call her and say, mm-hmm. hey, let's get this removed
let's
from your account.
Let's exchange some codes.
Yeah, let's get this removed from your account and so I can refurbish it and send it back out to another user.
Yeah. So anyway, I digress. But the Trusted Platform module on a Windows computer basically provides the same level of security. It makes it so that you can tether the computer to you indefinitely until you decide to let go of it. So which I mean is going to have is having a huge effect on theft at this point. I mean, it's like, you know, the I can't tell you the last time I heard of somebody's iPhone getting stolen. I don't know about you. It's just, I mean, it's they're pretty much useless. It's just a paperweight or a brick, you know, at that point. Anyway, so we got the trusted platform module. Yeah. If your computer comes up with a incompatible trusted platform module, what do you do?
See, I haven't actually done one of these.
You go under the hood and replace it, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No. No, they're built into your processor.
So there's a hack for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And we're not going to get too deep into the hack, but for those of you that want to milk some more time out of your computer with, you know, without upgrading it, you want to stay on Windows, or you want to upgrade to Windows 11 on your formerly Windows 10 computer, there are a number of workarounds online that you can solicit. The one thing that we need to caution everybody about is, though, that somewhere along the line,
you may be in a situation where this will stop.
Microsoft can push out an update, and the update will break the hack. And you may end up with a unusable computer at the moment. And so you got to kind of weigh how mission critical that computer is, you know, whether you want to go ahead and do that or not. So anyway, I didn't mean to hijack your conversation about Windows 11, but
no, that's
yeah.
That's the long and short of the issue with this. They're basically causing a bunch of hardware to be discarded because of the choice of making sure that the TPM chip is version 2 or newer.
Okay.
Which was released in 2013 at this point. So it's, you know.
Okay. It's amazing how many motherboards don't have a TPM chip at all, though. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I've come across, I probably replaced 10 computers in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, for this very reason. So what happens if somebody has a Windows 10 computer and they don't want to hack it, they don't want to buy a new computer, what's going to happen to them? What are the horrible consequences, Matt?
Well, and this is true of Windows 7, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, 8, and, you know, I think it'll be true of 10, but my experience was is that they did this, you know, so the hackers have been, you know, squirreling away what'd you call them?
Zero-day exploits?
Exploits in general. They've been squirreling away these exploits. They haven't been using them in the wild. So they're waiting until sometime after October 14th to then use these exploits on unprotected Windows 10 machines. And if I recall correctly, like Windows 7, they did the end of life on the October 14th, about 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Okay.
And like 3 weeks later, they let all of the, you know, they did all the exploits, and they're like, oh, sorry, we're doing one more patch.
Ah.
And, you know, patch.
Okay, that's kind of fun.
So I was like, oh, good. I wonder if that's going to happen again. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. But because basically right now the people that are doing nefarious things to computers mm-hmm. are waiting.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're going to wait for it to be out of support. So then this stays unpatched mm-hmm. permanently, hopefully.
Got it. So I know I have my list, but what's your list of if your customers who say, I think I'm just going to sit tight and see what happens with my Windows 10 computer. What things should they not do?
Well, I wouldn't do banking on it any longer.
Okay.
So,
all right.
That's financial stuff is probably my primary thing.
Yeah.
Then you start talking about the other big, digital pies, which is like email.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, well, you know, if you get the keys, that's because everyone, unless you've set it up otherwise, your email account is your keys to the kingdom in most cases.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's just like, as you do, there's less and less things that you want to do on there as there are more and more things. And the other side is going forward, Firefox and Chrome and other, things that you load on the computer will stop being updated. They'll just say, it'll come up and say, hey, you still have Windows 10. You can't upgrade to version 406.
Got it.
You're stuck there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the first that's one of the first places I go when people ask me. You know, I say, you know, first of all, I wouldn't do any banking. Second of all, you probably got 6 to 9 months, maybe longer, before things really start breaking, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, I think one of the key things for people to look at is that the language that Microsoft uses. Windows 10 is going out of support. This means that if your Windows 10 messes up, you can no longer call Microsoft for help. My question is, when's the last time you ever called Microsoft for help? Because that's about as helpful as a hole in the head. So in a way, they're using the loss of a little used service as the number one impetus for making the upgrade.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of
the last time I've called Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
For anything.
Account
recovery is, I think, the only thing is the last thing I can think of calling Microsoft
Windows
for.
Activation.
Oh yes.
But now we're back to Windows 7. So,
I think last time I did that was Windows XP.
XP. Okay. Because I'm pretty sure you had to, like, sometimes your code wouldn't reactivate your Windows 7.
Sure.
And you'd have to call in, and then you'd have to feed them like a 32 character code on the phone, and then they would feed you a 26 character code back or whatever. And
But wasn't Windows 7 the first one where they kind of paired the license with the hardware configuration on the machine?
I think they did. It added up the sum of the serial numbers of hardware devices, and then it ran it through some sort of a hash, and then you got your code.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and so if you changed your hardware a lot, then it would break your Windows. You know, yeah, new sound card, broken Windows, right?
Yeah, I don't think it did plugins, but I definitely did, like, mm-hmm. processor, maybe, you know, processor, RAM, and maybe motherboard. I'm not sure. We'd have to go back and see, but that's ancient history.
By the way, speaking of sound cards, I had a computer come in the other day that had one. How remarkable is that? So, and I don't mean integrated. I mean,
right, it's a PCIe.
Yeah, PCIe card, you know. Anyway, once again, 970-963-2976 is our number. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. And we are standing by to answer all your PC questions, all your Mac questions, all your Linux questions. So
have you looked at any speculation for Windows 12?
Really? We're going to go there?
Well, you know, Microsoft really likes to do the thing where it's just like, well, we're going to do a bad version of Windows, then we're going to do a good version of Windows, then we're going to do a bad version of Windows. I mean, they've done that, you know, 95 was kind of questionable. Windows 98 was pretty good. Windows 98 SE was good. Windows ME was junk.
Yeah.
Windows XP was fabulous.
You don't have any computers running Windows ME?
Oh, no, I had a Windows ME machine. I curse.
You don't still have? No, I'm just kidding.
I may still have a computer running Windows 2000 Professional.
It's the Millennium Edition, man. Come on. How good? How bad could that be? You know,
it was 25 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. That was 25 years ago. That's crazy. So let's see. Where were we? So we were talking about all the bad things are going to happen to you if you stay on Windows 10. And the bottom line is, right off the bat, I like your idea about, like, you know, waiting a couple weeks and then Microsoft will come out with that kind of retroactive patch after all the evildoers have busted out all their exploits. And they're just foaming at the mouth waiting to.
Yeah, exactly.
Waiting for the party to begin, you know. So let's talk about. When I don't know about you, but when I sit down at a computer, a Windows 11 computer, and the question comes up of, am I on Windows 10 or am I on Windows 11? I mean, half the time, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, is there a surefire way? Is there a sure tell that you know of?
I just look where the start button's placed.
Ah.
Because every single previous version of Windows had it in the lower left-hand corner. Uh-huh. And this one has it, like, off-center left. Uh-huh.
But there's a tweak that will put it off in the lower left-hand corner again.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen
there's,
my clients
there's
do
an
that.
Interface tweak, yep.
But if I saw it in the lower left-hand corner, I'd probably check and be like, is this Windows 10?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, as far as, I mean, because I don't know about you, but I get, I mean, that's the anxiety level. People are like, I just don't know if I can learn Windows 11 or not.
They moved.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh at you if you're one of those people, but
they moved the start button.
Newsflash.
Like 4 inches. Yeah. I don't know how many pixels because mm-hmm. I don't know the DPI of your screen, but yeah. They moved it to the right just a little bit.
Yeah,
and you can move it, and you can move it back if uh-huh. you really want to.
Yeah.
So
and other than that, Windows 11 is super different in what way? Not really.
But more ads when you go into the start button.
Okay. There you go.
That's the only way I know of.
Yippee.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
No.
Yeah. So let's see. I have seen, I've had some more difficulty, and we're kind of going into the commercial range here. I've had more difficulty compatibility with Windows 11 computers talking to older networked computers. You know, I've had to go in and tweak settings.
Yep.
Like tweak settings as far as what is it?
SMB1?
Yeah, SMB and SMB2 and all that stuff. I know we're getting pretty deep in the weeds for a lot of you people, so I apologize. But that is if you have upgraded your computer to Windows 11 and you work in a work environment and you all of a sudden are having trouble connecting to the company server. Or sharing printers with other computers.
I would say the printer one is one I usually run into where uh-huh. the printer uses, I think I had to, what was it? I had to, it was, which way was it? I had to go into the printer and enable SMB2 on the printer uh-huh. so that I didn't have to go to all the, but by default it was turned off for some reason. So I had to like uh-huh. update the firmware. So they upgraded to 11, it stopped working. And then I was like, oh, your firmware on your printer is ancient history. Let's bring it up to the most recent. And then that got rid of SMB 1.1 and put in SMB 2.2 and everything started working again.
Yeah, exactly.
So had to update the printer because Windows 11 was updated. Fortunately, they had done that. Otherwise, I would have had to, you know, finagle all of the, uh-huh. You know, all the other computers to make it work with the ancient printer.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, I think, you know, it's...
Yeah, you're not going to notice too much.
It's going to be like Y2K.
Oh, so we just make sure...
Major event.
never mind, that's not important anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not mission... That one's actually not mission critical.
Exactly. So...
So we don't actually have to update that to have a 32-bit time code. It can still use the old one, which I can't remember the name of.
Yeah.
But basically, the 1 and the 9 were hard-coded.
Yeah, the Fortran. Was that Fortran? Wasn't that was all done in? Or,
I think it was it was everything previous to Windows, probably Millennium Edition?
Yeah, because everybody started learning to program Fortran programming again so that they could go in and be the savior and fix people's broken CMOS chips for their Y2K issues.
Seems like it'd be C, but maybe it could be Fortran. I don't know how old that that is.
That's the F word. So yeah. So I think we've covered that well enough. I can't wait until our next show, and all of you Windows 10 users who are like going to be holdouts can call us and tell us how the windows blew in when the wind came up and how your basement got flooded and then so on and so forth.
And then you got mad and switched to Linux.
Yeah. You got smart and switched to Linux.
Yeah.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about is I discovered a really good hack today. I told Matt about this before the show, but I started pondering the idea that, it's really the AI people are working so hard to make AI act like a human being. And then I realized that if you're a human being, it's really not difficult to act like an AI. I mean, all you got to do is say something stupid and outrageous every now and then, and you've done it. I mean, it's they call it AI hallucinations. Did we cover that?
I've experienced some interesting hallucinations, and I would say the other side is I'll ask it. I've pretty much abandoned Google for some of the other AIs, and I just ask the AI, it's like, hey, I'm trying to do this, and and it gets me like, and I'm double natting through a VPN, over a couple, so it's like things that are a little more difficult than, you know, yeah. it just you know, got me like 95% of the way there, mm-hmm. but still like hallucinated on me and said, oh, yeah. do this. And I was just like, then I'd go look at, luckily it, you know, does citations for where it pulled that information from. Uh-huh. And you go look at those citations and you go, oh, that's not what you meant.
Got it. Well, you know, something I've have become aware of is that have you come across any of these AI images where the there'll be an extra appendage protruding?
Oh, I've seen some great
protruding from the forehead of the subject.
I think there's probably a Reddit devoted uh-huh. to that at this
devoted,
point.
Okay, extraappendage.com.
So, yeah, /r/ extra AI extra appendages.
Absolutely. So
it has no concept of the physical form. It's just looking uh-huh. at, you know, it's looking at two-dimensional yeah. photos and trying to figure out what pieces are in common.
Uh-huh.
And then it sometimes, you know, it has no clue that it's like, oh, most people mm-hmm. only have five fingers. You know, it's yeah. like a 99.999% of the times, like, oh, you need to count to five. It's like, mm-hmm. no, I'm just going to make something that looks like a hand that is, you know, yeah. algorithmically a hand, air mm-hmm. quotes. And yeah. if it has, or I was looking at I saw a picture of like this really beautiful car. Yep. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, that's amazing. Who made that? And, you know, then you start looking at the lug nuts.
Uh-huh.
And you go, why are there 8.5 lug nuts? And then they're not in a, you know, a perfect circle in the exact center of the rim. And then, you know, then you start noticing everything.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Okay, Lou's got some great AI yeah. hand pictures up.
Yeah, here's one of a six-fingered hand.
Yeah.
I can't figure out which one's the wrong one, though.
So. Yeah. Yeah. One look, and was that the meridian lines all the one side of the meridian line's goofy and the other side looks kind of normal? And...
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's pretty funny. But this is where this is practical for y'all. It's become a thing now to receive just a random out of the blue text message, and it's usually something fairly innocuous. I think I talked a few months ago about I'm drawing a blank. I'm going up, as they say in my acting business.
Just say okay to spam.
No. Oh, okay. So the common one is, Hey, Anita, do you want to go golfing tomorrow?
Sure. I get those a couple yeah. times a month.
So I don't know what it is about golf that, like, all of a sudden, the minute golf gets mentioned, people let their guards down and go, oh, this must be some really nice, you know, person. And they a lot of just.
Oh, it must be high trust. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, and I used to text back. I'd say, you know, I would love to go golfing, but unfortunately, I think this message was intended for somebody else, and I probably don't need to live anywhere near the same golf course where you're going to go. And then they strike up a conversation, and next thing you know, they want me to visit their site with some sexy pictures on it, and they want to take my money, and so on and so forth. And so it's just basically a way to build false trust and create a come on. So I actually got two of these today, and I basically – just on a whim, I basically said, welcome to the Mountain Keyboard AI automated assistant. And then the person texted back and says, hi, what's your name? And I'd say, I'm an AI assistant. How can I help you? And the whole thing went, the line went dark. And so all you got to do is pretend like you're an AI. You know,
yeah.
Just talk in a stilted robotic fashion, and you'll just don't do anything that yeah. gives it away that you're a human being.
Yeah,
just keep it yeah, really sterile.
Keep your Tourette's to a minimum. Yeah,
yeah. Just exactly. So, you know, just basically say, hey, welcome to the AI assistant. Thank you for. How can I help you? So anyway, we all know what that music means.
Yeah. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
And we'll be back on the 20th, right?
The 20th, correct.
Yeehaw. All right. Good deal.
All right.
So thanks so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. And do not touch your knob.